Om Jnanadhimadannasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Welcome everybody to today's initiation ceremony. It's a very joyous occasion today of new beginnings and very big steps back home, back to Godhead. We're going to begin today with a purification rite of Achman, reciting a prayer which says that whatever condition of life one's in, if one remembers the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he or she becomes purified inwardly and outwardly. And along with this, we'll perform the Achman sipping water by saying a mantra, and we'll do that three times. Would you like to do?
Hare Krishna. So we take the water in the hand.
First
three
the Om
times.
Apavitra.
Yeah.
Okay. Om
Apavitra.
Apavitra.
Pavitrova.
Pavitrova.
Sarvavasthan.
Sarvavasthan.
Gatopiva.
Gatopiva.
Yasmaret.
Yasmaret.
Pundarikaksham.
Pundarikaksham.
Sabha.
Sabha.
Abhyantara.
Abhyantara.
Suchihi.
Suchihi.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
So we take water. Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
Om Govindaya Namaha. And the last, the Govindaya Namaha, you just leave it down. And we do it three times, so kindly repeat after me. Om Apavitra.
Apavitra.
Pavitrova,
Pavitrova,
Sarvavasthan,
Sarvavasthan,
Gatopiva,
Gatopiva,
Yasmaret,
Yasmaret,
Pundarikaksham,
Pundarikaksham,
Sabahya,
Sabahya,
Abhyantara,
Abhyantara,
Suchihi,
Suchihi,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu,
Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu.
Again take Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya.
Om Govindaya Namaha.
Om Govindaya.
Last time, please repeat. Om.
Om.
Apavitra.
Apavitra.
Pavitrova.
Pavitrova.
Sarvavasthan.
Sarvavasthan.
Gatopiva.
Gatopiva.
Yasmaret.
Yasmaret.
Pundarikaksham.
Pundarikaksham.
Sabahya.
Sabahya.
Abhyantara.
Abhyantara.
Suchihi.
Suchihi.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu.
Sri Vishnu. Shri Vishnu.
Shri Vishnu.
Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om Keshavaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Narayanaya Namaha.
Om Madhavaya Namaha. Om Govindaya Namaha. So we do the Brahma Samhita.
And now we'll recite the Brahma Samhita together. Samhita. We'll recite the Brahma Samhita together. This is a prayer sung by Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation after his revelation of Krishna in the spiritual world. He was born atop a lotus flower in complete darkness and began to explore, try to find out his origin. He received instruction from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to perform tapasya. He also received the mantra. And after chanting that mantra and meditating on Krishna for a long time, he was able to envision the spiritual world completely. And this prayer was discovered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the Adi Keshava temple in South India. He had it copied and distributed to his most intimate disciples. And since that time, it's been a tradition in the Rama Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya to recite this prayer, which contains all the truth of the Vaishnava philosophy. We also learned this in 1975 for a special yajna that took place in Chicago, Illinois, where many devotees were initiated and many deities were installed simultaneously. And Prabhupada liked it very much. So from that time on, we could tell that he was pleased when the devotees would recite this before the fire yajnas. So you can follow along by looking at whichever of the screens doesn't have extra light on it. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchit Ananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha Laksha Vriteshu Surabira Bipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Shata Sambrama Sevyamanam Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Venum Kwanantam Aravindam Dalaya Taksham Bharavatam Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandarpakoti Tamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Ahalola Chandra Kalasadvana Malya Vamshi Ratnangadam Pranaya Keli Kalavilasham Shamam Tribangalalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti Pashyanti Panti Kalayanti Chiram Jaganti Ananda Chinmaya Dvala Vigrahasya Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Dulavam Adulavam Atma Bhaktau Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Pantastu Koti Shatavatsara Sambrakamyo Vayodhapi Manaso Muni Pungavanam Sopyasti Aprapadasim Yavichintya Tatve Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Ekopya Saura Charitum Jagadanda Kotim Yat Shakti Rasti Jagadanda Chayaya Dantaha Andanta Rasta Paramanu Chayanta Rastam Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Yadbhava Bhavitadiyo Manujasta Taiva Samprapya Rupa Mahimasanayana Bhusha Sukter Yameva Nigama Pratitaistu Vanti Govindamari Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitavis
Tavirya eva nija rupataka kaladi Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuto Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena Santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti Yam shama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Ramadi muti shukalani amena tishtan Nana avatara makarod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samababa paramapumanyo Govindamari purusham dhamaham bhajami Yasya prapa prabhavato jagadanda koti Koti shashesha basudari viputi bhinam Tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam Govindam adi purusham dhamaham bhajami Maya hi yasya jagadanda shatani sute Traigunya tad vishaya vera vitaya mana Sattvavalambi parasattvam vishuddha sattvam Govindam adi purusham dhamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasat mataya manasu Yapraninam pratipalam smarutamu petya Lilaitena bhuvanani jayatya jastram Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Goloka nami nijadamni taleta tasya Devi mahesha haridamu suteshu teshu Tete prabhava nichaya vihitascha yena Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Hristi stiti pralaya sarana shakti reka Chayeva yasya bhuvanani viparti durga Chandurupam api yasya chacheshta tesa Govindam adi purusha tamaham bhajami Shiram yatarada vikara vishesha yogad Sanjayate nahitata pratigasti heto Yasham bhutam apitata samupaiti karyad Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Dipachar eva hidashantanam abhyupetya Dipayate vrvrta hetu samana dharma Yastadrageva hicha vishnutaya vipati Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Yakkaranarna bhajale bhajati sma yoga Nidramananta jagaranna saroma kupaha Adhara shaktim avalamya param samurtim Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Yashaikanishvasita kalam atavalambhya Jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata Vishnur mahansa iha yasya kala vishesho Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami Bhasvanya tashma sakaleshu nijeshu tejaha Sriyam kiyap prakatayat tapitad vadatra Brahmaya esha jagadanda vitana karta Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yat pada pallava yugam vinitaya kumbha Dvandve pranama samaye sakanari rajaha Vignan vinhantum alamasya jagatrayasya Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Agnirbahi ganganam ammum murudishascha Kalastatatma manasiti jagatrayani Yasmad bhavanti vivavanti vishantiyamcha Govindamari purusham dhamaham bhajami Yachchakshuresha savita sakalagrahanam Raja samasta suramurti rashesha tejaha Yasyagnaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Dharmo tapapa nichaya shutayasta pamsi Ramadi kita patagavadayascha jivaha Yadatra matra vibhava prakata prabhava Govindamari purusham dhamaham bhajami Yastvindra kopam apatendra mohosa karma Bandhanu rupa palabhajanam atanoti Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti Vatsalya moha guru gaurava sevya bhavai Sanchintya tasya sadrishim tadama purete Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Sri akanta kanta paramapurusha kalpataravo Dhruma bhumishchintamani ganamayitoyam amritam Katakanam datyam gamanam api vamsi prayasaki Chidanandam jyoti paramapi tadasvadhyam apicha Sayatra shiradhi sravati surabhi pyasya sumahan Nimesha dhakyo varvrajati nahi atrapi samayaha Vajeshweta dvipam tamaham miha golokamityam Vidantaste shantakshiti viralachara katipaye Ishvaraha parama krishna sakshirananda vigraha Anarirarir govinda sarvakarana karanam Niti sir brahma samhita sampurnam Hari Om. So, at the request of His Holiness Giridhar Swami Maharaj, I'm going to begin speaking and then he'll continue. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katah Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Namamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyaevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo. Is anybody here for the first time? Welcome. Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Welcome. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you for coming. Welcome. It's you came at on a special day. Our Sunday program, it's always dedicated to some kind of hearing about Krishna from the Shastras, hearing the philosophy of spiritual life, and doing some chanting. Today is a initiation ceremony. The initiates, who are all sitting on this side of the room, are taking vows today for moving forward in their spiritual life before all the devotees and before the deities. So I first offer my obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who saved me from the darkest realms of the material world, where I had been wandering since a time immemorial. I offer my obeisances to Sriman Mahaprabhu, Shri Shri Radhamadan Mohanji, Shri Shri Lakshmi Nishingadev, and to His Holiness Giriraj Swami, to my wife Nirakula Devi Dasi, to all the devotees who are present here today to witness this auspicious event. So some of the devotees today are taking Harinam initiation. And one devotee is accepting Mantra Diksha, the holy mantras which have been passed down through the disciplic succession and which are given from spiritual master to disciple in private. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is open to everyone. Anyone can chant Hare Krishna. But there is a way in which, when it is accepted from a spiritual master in the disciplic succession, one also receives the conception of the holy name and is empowered to chant. So the relationship between guru and disciple is very sacred. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described how living entities are wandering in the material world. At other times, Srila Prabhupada used the word loitering. And I've seen signs for no loitering in various seedy neighborhoods. Usually outside 7-Eleven, there's a big sign that says, "No loitering. Please don't hang out here." Krishna also advises in the Bhagavad Gita
In many places, and throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are admonitions not to loiter in this material world, not a safe place even. Don't stay here. Abhrama bhuvana loka punar avartino arjuna. Krishna says that this is a nasty place from top to bottom. But somehow or other, I've come to this plane, sometimes called the plane of ignorance, and I've been wandering. There's no resting place here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes to his disciple, Sanatan Goswami, that on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vaishnavas wander around the world canvassing. I never heard the word canvassing until I came to Krishna consciousness. But it means going around and meeting people and trying to convince them of something, to bring them along in a certain direction. And when someone's wandering and wandering in ignorance and meets a Vaishnav, the Vaishnav has always got a surprise for them. They're ready. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the Vaishnavs are like spiritual doctors, and they bring hymns and instructions. These two things they keep in their little black bag. Let me see what I have for you. I have hymns and I have instruction. A hymn, if you think about it, is a beautiful word. When someone sings a hymn, it's really something beyond the mundane normally. It's something that is at least expressing some deeper emotion. And the hymns that come from the spiritual world have a special quality. Golokera Premadhan Harinam Sankirtan, described by Narottam Das Thakur, that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra comes from the spiritual world. And all the mantras which are brought down through the Vaishnavas have very specific potencies to awaken love for God within the heart. So if someone's very fortunate, as they're wandering in the universe, they meet a spiritual doctor and they receive the medicine. And then there's a progression. Yadrishi, yadrishi, shraddha, siddhir, bhavati tadrishi. Sri Brahma Sanghita says, as one's faith in the medicine increases, one becomes more and more perfect. And also described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, adau shraddha tata saru sangata bhajana kriya, or Rupa Goswami. Tato narta nivritti set tato nishta ruchistata. There's a way in which when someone comes in contact with the Vaishnavas, he or she then, if fortunate, develops some faith and then wants to associate. And after associating, the faith increases and one wants to follow. It's well-reasoned faith. It's faith based on understanding the various options that are available to me in this world. Today we had a seminar where we heard a detailed account of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And it leads one to a conclusion that why would I do anything else? This is a symptom of faith. And there's also a growing feeling that by performing Krishna consciousness, everything else will be done perfectly. I may have so many obligations in this world, and we all do. We all have complex situations. There's not one person in this world that doesn't or isn't born into some complex situation. And if it's not, when they're born, it'll get complex later. It's the nature of the world. So to deal with these complexities, one has to take help. And one develops faith in the process, taking help from Bhagavad Gita, from the sadhus, and then very specifically from a spiritual master. One great sadhu once said that a spiritual master speaks about Krishna, goes from place to place speaking about Krishna, and in that way captures the soul. And then the person who's listened and who's become inspired then captures the spiritual master by initiation. Meaning, he or she says, now I've been listening to you, I'm inspired, now you have to give me initiation. And so one catches one in one way and the other catches the other. And in this way, they enter into a sacred relationship, a sacred relationship, which is meant to connect to the Adiguru, who is Krishna. And Prabhupada used to give the example of a copper wire. A copper wire conducts electricity, and no matter how far along the line you connect one copper wire to the next, it will conduct, and the electricity will come through. As long as it's connected, that's the main point. And if you touch the wire, the electricity will come. So guru-disciple relationship means a relationship with Krishna, and Krishna's providing that to living entities in this material world. In as much as it's his system, he empowers living entities in this world, great acharyas who come to preach Krishna consciousness, and others who follow the acharya strictly, then can also connect others to the process of Krishna consciousness. So it's a customized way of meeting Krishna. In this world, we may not be able to see Krishna directly. In fact, in the beginning, what can I see with my fleshy eyes except the external world? But when I see faith in the heart of a person who's following the process of Krishna consciousness, who's connected to a spiritual master, and when I see the symptoms of steadiness, of my ideal that I'm looking for in life, my heart becomes enlivened and I'll want to connect to that person. From the point of view of the spiritual master is a servant leader. Spiritual master never thinks, I am master. Spiritual master means, I am servant. I'm servant of the servant of the servant. But by way of taking care of others, in order to train them in Krishna consciousness, spiritual master takes the duty, becomes duty-bound. And in the case of our movement, it's so much based on expanding the numbers of people who will come into the Sankirtan movement. That is, the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where the dancing and the singing of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is going on, which takes one directly back to the spiritual world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted movement. He wanted forward motion, and he wanted generations after generations after generations of people to come into the fold of Krishna consciousness. And so did the great acharyas who followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose preoccupation in life was seeing to it that he could spread Krishna consciousness all over India, and then he was envisioning how it would go all over the world, and it would reach the Asians and the Europeans and the Americans and the everyone from the subcontinent of India would come together and they'd all chant Jai Sachi Nandan together. And therefore, following the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in the land, that was meant for everybody. He's deputizing everyone who's willing. So today is a gathering of those who are willing to step forward. The door is always open. Krishna's never closed the door. In fact, he's always keeping it open. It's me who won't walk through the door. It's me who won't approach. In the Gita, he says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshostina paraha. Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I'm equal to everyone. I give everyone equal chance to do whatever they like. But if someone approaches me, then I embrace them. Then I embrace them. That's why it's so auspicious. The initiation is very meaningful. It means coming forward and declaring that, yes, I see it and I'm taking it. I'm taking this opportunity. And we don't know. The materialistic mind thinks, oh, I have forever to do this. But we don't know. At any moment, our beloved Rasika Shekhar Prabhu was aspiring for initiation. It took him some time to develop the momentum, because he was a very thoughtful, methodical person. And then when he finally decided he wanted to take initiation as soon as possible, I was leaving for India, and we moved up the date so that he could take initiation before I left. And while I was in India, he left the world very suddenly, reminding all of us that nothing is guaranteed in this world. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. When Vaishnav poet says, we're hanging in the balance like a little drop of water on the lotus leaf can slip off at any moment. Maharsh Katvanga is famous because he fought for the demigods for many years, great king and warrior that he was. And later the demigods offered him a boon, said, whatever you like. And he said, I just want to know how much time I have left in this world. And they said, about a minute. And in that last minute, he fully took shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. Everyone has that opportunity at any time. Krishna's not lazy about it. He's keeping the door open. And so when someone sees that opportunity is there, they see clearly. It's well-reasoned faith. They see that I can take advantage. I can actually connect to this process. And the great acharyas have chalked out the process of devotional service and given us a very specific track to run on. There is the track of Bhagavat Marg, which means the spontaneous devotional service, the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is directly about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual world, Itam Bhuta Guno Hari. It's got the same quality as Krishna. And it attracts Krishna, and Krishna becomes captured in the heart of one who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam and the chanting of Hare Krishna, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is a transcendental mantra with very deep meaning. And then there's the Panchachik Vidhi, which is enumerated in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, written by Sanatan Goswami by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which gives many rules and regulations for purifying one's senses and for worshipping the deity. Actually, the name Pancharatra means five nights. That comes from the beginning of creation. Lord Brahma was given the knowledge of the Vedas, but Madhu and Kaitaba appeared also at the beginning of creation. There's always somebody trying to mess things up. It's the way the material world is. Even from the very beginning of creation, Brahma had problems. And they, at night, stole the Vedas from the mind of Brahma. Hayagriva came, killed those demons. And then Brahma approached the Lord and said, now please give me the knowledge of the Vedas, but in a compact form. In five nights, Pancharatra. He re-spoke the Vedas in a very concise and practical way. And there are many Pancharatras. Ours comes down through Narada Muni, and we are given instructions about how to live our life throughout the day. From the very moment you open your eyes, there is a process in the scheme of Pancharatra so that you're connected to Krishna. In fact, you wake up, and first thing, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Jayati Janani Vaso, Devaki Janmavaru, Yaruvari Parishat Swar, Dobhira Sanna Dharmam, Stira Charavijinana, Susmita, Sri Mukhena, Rajapura Vanitanam, Varyam, Kama Devam. Verses like this are recommended, remembering the very beautiful smiling face of Krishna. And then there's a mantra, O Mother Bhumi, please forgive me for stepping on your surface. Step out of bed, right foot, get up, take bath in a certain way to clean the body, then sit down to chant the Gayatri mantras, then performing deity worship. A very elaborate process can be done in a simplified way also, but everyone in this age of Kali, says Jiva Goswami, needs this. We all need to be connected to the deity worship. If you can't be worshipping the deity constantly yourself all day long like our pujaris do, everyone has to be connected to the temple, come ring the bell, offer obeisances, feel the atmosphere of the temple, bow down before the deity and come in clean clothes and with a clean body and so forth. This Panchachik Vidhi, the Vidhis, the rules and regulations, give us an opportunity to remain clean and free from the modes of material nature, Because, say the acharyas, in this age of Kali, the environment is so contaminated that simply to chant Hare Krishna and to read Srimad Bhagavatam is very difficult because the impressions in the mind take us away from that practice and we end up doing something else. Like what? Looking at the internet. I mean, there's so many distractions nowadays besides hearing transcendental sound and so forth. So ingeniously and in a way that everyone can remain steady on the process of Krishna consciousness, the acharyas have given us these two tracks through by which we can advance in Krishna consciousness. And the process of diksha, divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papas is sangshayam. The Hari Bhakti Vilas says, this means, diksha means divyam jnanam. Within the mantra that you receive, Shyamalangi today is receiving her second initiation, which we call mantra diksha. And within the mantra, there are very powerful spiritual sounds that have been passed down, revelations, many of them from the great sages over the years, and have entered into our sampradaya and have very specific ways of connecting us to the Supreme, showing us the three stages of sambandha, or the relationship with the Supreme, abhideya, practice, and also prayojan, and the goal. All of these are within the mantra, some in seed form, and some are spelled out in different ways, but by chanting the mantra, one becomes freed from all sinful reactions. Any lingering sins within the heart are destroyed. Divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papas sangshayam. Tasmak diksheti ya prokta deshikais tatvakovidai. The great learned people say this is the process of diksha. Tatvakovidai. This is what they say. That it destroys your sins, you start over. You get to start over. And these mantras also take one to the process of deity worship. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these pancha samskar, which means the process of initiation. It's a process that one goes through, and all of you have been through a process. It's not that you just walk in the door and say, I'll take initiation, but there's a way in which one takes one's time in purifying oneself, being ready for this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, first there's tapa. And tapa means, of course, writing the name of the Lord on your body in sandalwood pulp and so forth. But he says it also has a deeper meaning, and that is that one's turning away from the material world. Tapa means heat. You're feeling the heat in the material world. And you're turning yourself towards an understanding that if I control my senses and direct my attention towards Krishna, I'll get the greatest gain in life. And then comes Paundra, which means that one begins to exhibit externally the signs of a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi, wearing this Urdhvapundra. If you wear this around wherever you go, people will say, hey, Haribo. You can be walking in Rancho Cucamonga. And if you have tilak and neck beads on, people will come, Haribo. They'll remember Krishna. And you will too. It's remembering that I'm a servant of Krishna and identifying with that and enjoying the fact that I'm in this world, but now I'm on a different team. I'm on Krishna's internal team. And then to really get on the team comes the nama. I've compared several times in several lectures to the United States government has the witness protection program for those who a need to get out of the... They turn state's evidence. But because they've done that, they're going to be followed and killed by their fellow mobsters. So the government arranges that they get a new name and a new residence. They wipe everything clean and they start over. So this nama... you get a new name. And it's hard for people to track you down. I've had circumstances, I know somebody by their devotee name, and then I meet an old friend of theirs, and I say, yeah, I know him, what's his name? And I don't know their other name. We threw it away. So the name is Das or Dasi, which means now I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. That's a coveted name to have. And it's a high title There are many names in this world, and who knows where they all come from. They're just mixed up in a big bucket, and when you're born, you know, everyone goes like, here you go, you get one of these. But this is a very specific name. It comes after great deliberation by the spiritual master, passed down to the disciple. But the crown jewel is the name Das or Dasi. I remember the first time I got a Back to Godhead magazine, and I was looking at the devotees, and I was noticing, what's their names, Das or Dasi? And I said, I want one of those names. I got to have one of those. I want to be a Das or Dasi. So when I got to the temple, I said, how do you get the name? And they told me, there's a process. So you have to go through the process of surrender, sweet surrender, and identify how to, you know, approach a spiritual master and then say, yes, I'm going to enter deeply into this process. And when you receive this name, you get the name Das, Dasi. And we also, at this time, when we take the Harinam initiation, make a vow that I will chant minimum number of rounds every day. And the number given to us by our founder Acharya is 16. So that's a very powerful number. It's given to us by a higher authority. And if we follow it, then we're following higher authority. And what's better than that, to follow a perfect higher authority? You can't get more fortune in life than that. And after that comes mantra diksha. After one becomes purified by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can then aspire for the mantra diksha, which means to receive the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, which is a mantra which came from the flute of Sri Krishna. It's the flute song of Krishna. He plays his flute. The sound goes into the 8 ear holes of Brahma, because he has 4 heads. And then it comes out of Brahma as Omkar. And then he begins to also have revelation of the Brahma Gayatri mantra, and he speaks the Brahma Gayatri. Gaya means song, and Trayate means to deliver. So it's the song that delivers one from the material world. And there's a series of mantras, as I mentioned earlier, that are passed down by the acharyas in the disciplic succession, that 3 times a day one stops everything else, which is very hard to do, isn't it? Or is it just me? I mean, especially in the morning you can do it, because there's not that much happening anyway, and the mode of goodness is favoring us in the morning and say, you can do whatever you like. But when it gets to the afternoon, it's very difficult. But 3 times a day one must stop, purify oneself to the best of one's ability in the Kali Yuga, and repeat these mantras within one's heart and mind for meditation, for purification, for rejuvenation, to offer obeisances to the spiritual master and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once one takes these mantras, then one becomes eligible. Of course, it's also prerequisite that one develop brahminical qualities of cleanliness, truthfulness, and simplicity, and so forth. Then one can enter into deity worship. Means actual deity worship that you can, you're authorized to perform the Panchak Chikividi duties of worshiping the deity every day, which is a very relishable service, not just relishable, but as I mentioned earlier, necessary for keeping the mind fixed in Krishna consciousness. The combination of taking care of the deity every day, attending to the form of Krishna, touching the form of Krishna, collecting flowers for Krishna, polishing the paraphernalia of Krishna, and so forth, that automatically, almost, brings one into a spiritual concentration. And then when one chants, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, there's a very powerful effect, because all that's really necessary for chanting the holy name is that one give one's full attention. One gives one's full attention. And the Panchatrik Vidhi, following these vidhis, these rules and regulations, help one to do this. So the time of initiation means that one changes. The body changes, the mind changes, everything changes. According to the Shastra, Yata kanchanatam yati kamsam rasa vidanataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatam jayatendranam. This verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas says that just as, and you may not know this formula, when you take mercury and you combine it with bell metal, There's a whole process. It can turn into gold. Actually, the touchstone. Actually, this one is mentioning a touchstone. When you have a touchstone and you touch it to metal, it can turn it to gold. So it says in the same way, Vidhanina, if you follow this process as you're doing today, following the process given by Krishna, this method of surrender that he asked for, then it's transformative. It transforms the person into the body becomes a sadaka deha. It's no longer a material body. And the initiates feel it and everyone else feels it also. This is the process of surrender. In conjunction with that verse I just mentioned, Srila Prabhupada also invokes a verse from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita which says, Dikshakali, Bhaktakari, Atma Samarpan, Shekali, Krishnatari, Kari Atmasam. And that means that when you take Diksha, at the time of Diksha, it says, when you're surrendering yourself and you're saying, I'm giving myself to Krishna through the process of surrendering to the spiritual master and taking these vows, when you do this, then you're transformed. And this full surrender, it means that Krishna accepts you to be as good as himself. So, even though you're going to go back to your regular duties, you won't be the same. You're transformed by the process of Diksha. It means, of course, one has to maintain the vow and the connection. But as one continues to do that, one, through the process of Diksha, becomes transformed by the mercy of Krishna, through the agency of disciplic succession, and becomes eligible for deity worship, and is able to steadily fix one's mind in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I've said something about the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple. I've said something about the Panchratrik Vidhi, that is the process of the rules and regulations that purify one and connect one to Krishna in the form of deity worship and the Diksha mantras. And I also mentioned the Pancha Samskar, the gradual process of surrender. And now I would like to ask His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj if he would continue with whatever revelation he would like to impart to us. It's probably okay to move up a little bit if you see a little daylight in front of you.
Hare Krishna. Today is an auspicious day, not only because of the initiation ceremony, but because today is the disappearance day of Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. It is described in scripture that when the Lord descends from the spiritual world into the material world. He arranges for different associates to assist him in his pastimes. Some play the part of elders, and they actually appear earlier, and some are peers, they appear at the same time, and some are juniors, they appear later. Haridas Thakur appeared before the Lord, and he was actually an incarnation of Lord Brahma, about whom we heard already. The first created being within the universe. And he served the Lord in various ways. He was born in a Muslim family, and he was subjected to many trials and tribulations. He was envied by Muslims and faced so many difficulties. And he was also tempted by Maya Devi herself. But he resisted the temptation because he was fixed in the mood of service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in his chanting of the holy names. And although he was born in a Muslim family, Lord Chaitanya designated him as the Namacharya, the exemplar, the teacher and exemplar of the holy name. So after passing many years on this earth, engaged in the Lord's service, he exhibited his pastime or lila of illness, which led to his pastime of disappearance. And he had some specific desires for his disappearance. And his exchange with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the very end is instructive for all of us. So I will read some verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I hope you all have this book, this set of books, which are form part of a larger set, which I hope you all have. And if you don't, you can get them. But this chapter is from Antilila, chapter 11, the passing of Haridas Thakur. It begins with text 1. Namami Haridasam tam chaitanyam tam chatat prabhum samstitam apiyan murtim svanke kritva nanartaya. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Haridas Thakur and his master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who danced with the body of Haridas Thakur on his lap. So now we'll come to text 21. Well, there's... The previous day, Lord Chaitanya visited Haridas Thakur, and he brought him some Mahaprasad. And Haridas Thakur was so strict in his vow of chanting that he would not eat until he completed his vow. And his vow was to chant 300,000 names daily. 100,000 names is 64 rounds. So 300,000 names is 192 rounds. To chant 64 rounds will take about 8 hours. So to chant 2 times that would take 16 hours, and to chant 3 times would take 24 hours. But Haridas Thakur may have chanted more quickly, but still, he spent most of his time chanting the holy name. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the Mahaprasad to him, Haridas Thakur said that I have not completed my quota of rounds, so how can I eat? But then again, you brought Mahaprasad, and how can I refuse? So Chaitanya Charitamrita says that he honored the prasad. And we also use that word. We don't like eat it like a creature devours some edible, but we honor it. So he honored a little Mahaprasad. Then the next day, this is what I will read. Text 21. The next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Haridas's place and inquired from him, "Haridas, are you well?" Haridas offered his obeisances to the Lord and replied, "My body is all right, but my mind and intelligence are not well." This is actually a reversal of the fact, but that's what he said. And that was also his humility, because he wasn't concerned with the body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further inquired from Haridas, "Can you ascertain what your disease is?" Haridas Thakur replied, "My disease is that I cannot complete my rounds." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one cannot complete the fixed number of rounds he is assigned, he should be considered to be in a diseased condition of spiritual life. Srila Haridas Thakur is called Namacharya. Of course, we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur, but everyone must chant a prescribed number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have fixed 16 rounds as the minimum, so that the Westerners will not feel burdened. That means for the Indians, it probably should be 64. This is a concession for us Westerners. These 16 rounds must be chanted, and chanted loudly, so that one can hear himself and others. Text 24. "Now that you have become old," the Lord said, "you may reduce the number of rounds you chant daily. You are already liberated, and therefore you need not follow the regulative principles very strictly." Purport. Unless one has come to the platform of spontaneous love of God, he must follow the regulative principles. On the spontaneous platform of love of God, one is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Even before that stage, there's a stage called asakti, where one is very attached to Krishna and just on the verge of the stage of love of God. And at that stage, if one's mind wanders for a moment away from Krishna, somehow, without the person's making any endeavor, it comes back to Krishna. It's like the opposite of us. We're chanting, and somehow, without our knowing how, our mind is somewhere else, away from Krishna. We have no idea how it got there. And it's a big effort to bring it back. But at this stage, if for a moment your mind wanders away from Krishna, it automatically comes back. And you don't know how it happened, but you're so attached to Krishna. But until one comes to that stage, one should follow the regulative principles very strictly. Haridas Thakur was the living example of how to follow the regulative principles. Similarly, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was also such a living example. In the Sad Goswami Astaka, it is stated, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi Kalavasani Krito. The Goswamis, especially Raghunath Das Goswami, strictly followed all the regulative principles. The first regulative principle is, it's without looking on the screen. You just heard it. The first regulative principle is that one must chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly enough so that he can hear himself. And one must vow to chant a fixed number of rounds. Not only was Raghunath Das Goswami chanting a fixed number of rounds, but he had also taken a vow to bow down many times and offer obeisances to the Lord. So we offer obeisances to the Lord and to the devotees. Raghunath Das Goswami composed many beautiful prayers of obeisance to the Lord and the Lord's associates. And so this is also a very important item. It's very good to offer obeisances. Text 25. Your role in this incarnation is to deliver the people in general. You have sufficiently preached the glories of the holy name in this world. Purport. Haridas Thakur is known as Namacharya because it is he who preached the glories of chanting Harinam, the holy name of God. By using the words Tomara Avatar, your incarnation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms that Haridas Thakur is the incarnation of Lord Brahma. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that advanced devotees help the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his mission, and that such devotees or personal associates incarnate by the will of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord incarnates by his own will, and by his will, competent devotees also incarnate to help him in his mission. Haridas Thakur is thus the incarnation of Lord Brahma, and other devotees are likewise incarnations who help the prosecution of the Lord's mission. So then there's a beautiful exchange between Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya, in which Haridas Thakur discloses his real purpose, which is that he knew that he would be leaving his body soon, and he wanted to leave in the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he asked that Lord Chaitanya grant him that benediction. Then the next day, Lord Chaitanya returned with his associates, and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his lotus feet on the heart of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur gazed upon the lotus face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and chanting the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. He left his body. And Lord Chaitanya picked up his body, and in ecstasy he danced with his body. He took it to the ocean and bathed it in the ocean. He declared, henceforth, the ocean will be a holy place. And he put Haridas Thakur's body in... they dug a hole and they placed his body in it. He put a tulsi plant on top of it. And now there is a tomb, a samadhi for Haridas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya personally distributed Mahaprasad with his own hand. And at the end of this chapter, there's a very beautiful blessing from Krishna, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, that anyone who hears the description of the glorious passing of Haridas Thakur will be blessed with love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna. So Haridas Thakur is our exemplar. As Srila Prabhupada said, we may not be able to chant the number of rounds he chanted, but we should chant our minimum number of rounds, and we should chant loudly and with attention. So there are 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name, and we should be aware of them and avoid them. As part of the morning program in every temple, Srila Prabhupada advised the devotees to read the list of 10 offenses. And that is an indirect prayer to be free from those offenses when we chant. And I think I will ask you all as a group, each of you can volunteer one of the 10 offenses to tell us what it is. You don't have to describe it, but just in brief, like, what's the first offense? Yes, yes.
Microphone.
Yes, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord, sadhu ninda. And this is a very important offense to avoid. It is said familiarity breeds contempt. So when we first come to the association of devotees, we're usually, to some extent or another, materially exhausted. And we can see very clearly the difference between devotees who are working to purify their hearts and help others, and ordinary people who are trying to exploit others and enjoy the material world. But after living in close proximity to devotees for some time, one may start to see them in a material way and criticize them. And that is very damaging for our spiritual life, sadhu ninda. And in his book, Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes Haridas Thakur, explaining the truth of the holy name and the offenses. And he mentions different grounds that one could find for criticizing a devotee. like his birth, his or her birth, his or her previous sinful activities, even current vestiges of sinful activities, even not having certain good qualities. But Haridas Thakur says that these are not grounds for criticizing a devotee. There are 26 qualities of a devotee mentioned in scripture, and one of them is Krishnaika Sharanam, to have taken full shelter of Krishna, or the holy name of Krishna. And if a devotee has that one qualification, if he does, even if he doesn't have any of the other 25, of course they will develop, and we want to work on that, but if he has that one, that is sufficient to qualify him as a devotee. And therefore, criticism of that person is an offense. Sometimes we're in a situation where it's our duty to correct someone, and that should be done without malice, you know, with sympathy, and as service. Like when the astrologer came to Lord Chaitanya's home, his father's home, and did his horoscope, he said, this boy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to be very careful. You know, you can't chastise him or correct him. And he said, well, maybe he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if he does something wrong, I have to correct him, otherwise he'll go astray. So sometimes we do have to correct a dependent, a subordinate, but it should be done with love, with in the mood of service. In the mood of service. That's not offensive. But just, you know, criticizing and finding fault and gossiping is very damaging, very damaging. So we have to really control our speech. Then second offense.
To consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu.
I won't say more because I won't assume that everyone knows this because there are people who are visiting. But in brief, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's like the king. And the demigods, even Brahma, Shiva, Durga, Ganesh, they are like ministers to the king. They're very powerful, and we do respect them. But they're not equal to the king, and they don't act independent of the king. And to think that they're equal to or independent is an offense to the king. You know? There was once an Austrian born person. He came to India and he became a sannyasi in the impersonal school. And he had the name Bharati, Agendra Bharati. And he was sort of in the mood that Shiva is supreme. And there was a big article in the Illustrated Weekly of India. And so I wrote back refuting it. And so the editor, he was an atheist, Kushwant Singh. He would bring believers together in such a way as to try to make them look bad. So with my response, he published a big article called Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And, you know, in his own way, he presented Bharati's position and my position. And I could just see what he was doing. He was trying to make us both look silly. So I wrote Prabhupada and I explained what happened and my analysis of it. And he said, yes, you're right. Bharati is a fool, but Singh is a demon. So, but still we respect the demigods. We don't disrespect them, but we see them in their proper position. And otherwise it is an offense. Then third,
to disobey the orders of spiritual master.
Yes. Gurur Avagya. The spiritual master is passing on the same instructions that he's received from his spiritual master, who in turn received them from his spiritual master. And the original spiritual master is Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so it's an offense to disobey his instructions, especially in the matter of chanting the holy names and also worshiping the deity. I had this talk earlier today with Radhika Raman Prabhu, because this is a question, like, how do you take the instructions of the spiritual master, even the instructions of the scripture, you know, how absolutely do you take them, or how much do you contextualize them? And again, there are different categories of instructions and different matters. So, you know, I said that I was always the type that took the instructions literally. And that was just the way I was. So in Juhu, Bombay, where Srila Prabhupada had some land and wanted to build a temple, which is there now, he was very disturbed because the construction was not moving along. He was very disturbed. So he wrote a letter that, you know, I want to see the construction begin, even if you only lay one brick. So I called together a few devotees. We took out some stakes and some string. We sort of figured out where the wall would go. And, you know, it was right before the Mayapur festival. So I think we laid about probably 18 or 20 bricks. So the project director, Sourabh, he was like a professionally trained architect. And he could not believe what we were doing. It's like he thought, this is useless. And he sort of, you know, mocked our effort. But later, years later, he said, actually, although I thought that way at the time, but I think what you did is very safe spiritually. I think you're actually safer spiritually than me. I mean, I'm not saying that just to make this point that it's safer to follow the instructions. And there were many times with Prabhupada. I'll tell one other just to... So The Juhu property had six buildings at the back that were occupied by tenants. And, you know, in India, you can't really... The tenants have more rights than the owners. So we couldn't get them out, but we got permission to build one floor, one story on top of each building. So we didn't have much money, and the flat roof was made of broken tiles in cement. And Prabhupada said, you know, just let that be the floor of the additional story, and you just build up the walls and the roof on top of it. So I did that. And after some time, that, you know, with all the walking on that previous rooftop, the cement started to crumble and little pieces of the tile chips started to come up. So the GBC, like, complained about me to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, Giriraj is like so cheap. He wouldn't put in a proper floor. He just kept the same roof from before, and now look what's happening. So I was, you know, it was like surrender to Prabhupada. He could have said anything and I would have accepted. And I thought he might have just remained silent. But he didn't. He told that he's a pretty strong-willed GBC. Actually, I told him to do that. So... I guess my point is that it's always safe to follow the instructions. and it could be risky not to. Number four.
To blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of Vedic version.
Now, we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that there are different degrees of offenses. You might know the story of Bhrigu Muni. There was like a discussion between Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, who is the supreme or who is in the mode of goodness. Anyway, so yes, blaspheming we shouldn't do. But even mentally, we may have doubts. We may read things in the scriptures that we don't really believe. And that it's not wrong to bring out one's doubts, but to just keep those doubts within and sort of conclude that you are right and the scripture is wrong, that's an offense. Because it is the scripture that describes Krishna, that describes the holy name of Krishna, that describes the process of bhakti yoga. And if we go against the scripture, you know, turn against the scripture, it's like our mother. The Vedas are like our mother. It's like we're going against our own source of nourishment. And then the most subtle manifestation of that is not to read the books. It's a subtle offense. I mean, Vyasadeva gave us the books. Srila Prabhupada stayed up at night and translated them, and not to read them or not to attend the classes on them is a subtle offense. So we really have to give ourselves fully to the process. So we'll hear the others. We won't discuss them all for the sake of time, but we should hear them. Number five.
Hari namni kalpana, to think the glories of the holy name to be imagination.
Yes. And some of our devotees, like His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, say that if we don't chant properly, if we don't chant attentively, we won't really feel the beneficial effects of the holy name, and then we'll think it's imaginary, or, you know, we'll think this is all, pious exaggeration. Next.
To give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord.
Yeah, that's similar. There are good things to say about all of them, but we'll try to control our tongue. Next.
To commit sinful activities on the strength of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord.
Yes. This is very important. And often Srila Prabhupada says this is the greatest offense or the worst offense. But the idea is that, as Vaisheshika Prabhu said, that when you surrender to the spiritual master and take shelter of the holy name, your previous sinful reactions are eradicated. And that's a principle. If you chant the holy name, it's said in the scripture, if you chant the holy name, you can destroy the reactions to more sins than you're able to commit. But if someone thinks, oh, well, I can do whatever I want, and then I'll just chant and wipe it all clean, that's an offense. Not only is it an offense against the holy name, but it doesn't work. In fact, you're compounding the reactions by that offense. So this can also have subtle manifestations that we might not deal with someone nicely. But we think, I'm a devotee. You know, I'm doing it for Krishna. It's okay. But we should actually be very careful in all of our dealings, not to offend anyone, not to cause pain to any living entity. And, sometimes we might steal a flower for Krishna, or might do a little something, and it's for Krishna, I'm serving Krishna. But we should be careful. We should be careful. And we definitely should not get caught. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he did a lot of collecting in the name of feeding poor people in India, but he didn't really use the money for that. And then he got caught. And, you know, it was a terrible embarrassment for the society, and a lot of the society's assets were frozen and taken by the government. It was really a very bad situation. And, the disciple gave the defense to Srila Prabhupada that he was doing it for Krishna, you know. And so Prabhupada told a story that somewhere, we won't make it too specific, somewhere everyone on that little island was engaged in smuggling. And so one man got caught, you know, smuggling, black market. So one man got caught, he was brought before the judge, and he said, you know, judge, everyone on this island does exactly what I do. So why are you punishing me? If you punish me, then you should punish everyone. Everyone knows it. And the judge said, I'm not punishing you for smuggling or black marketing. I'm punishing you for getting caught. So, anyway, it's safest is not to do anything wrong in the name of being a devotee. That's definitely the safest. I think we'll stick to that. If you want, if you have any exceptions in mind, consult Vaisheshika Prabhu. But little things we can do for Krishna. Then, next.
To consider chanting of the holy names as one of the ritualistic activities described in the Vedas in Karmakanda.
Yes. People do, you know, Vedic sacrifices and things to get some material benefit. So to think that chanting Hare Krishna is like that, it's like some ritual, and if I do it, I'll get some material benefit, that's an offense. We can't. Next.
Preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna mantra to the faithless.
Yes, this is a very important point, that if someone doesn't have faith, and if you preach about the glories of the holy name, then they'll think that what you're saying is just imagination. They'll think that you're deluded. Like once I was on an airplane ride with my father, mother, sister, and a devotee friend to Kashmir. And, you know, my father was a rational person, sort of scientific, and Prabhupada had written the book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, using some scientific language to appeal to scientific-minded people. So, you know, he didn't have faith, and I started to preach to him about, you know, the anti-material worlds and how you can travel to the anti-material worlds. And, you know, he was looking at me like my poor son. It's like, sort of like, I thought he was crazy, but I didn't know he was this far gone. I mean, he didn't say it, but I could see it in his face. And I realized, you know, I'm making a big mistake here. I'm actually making things worse by my so-called preaching. And then I thought, this is the offense. And Prabhupada said that you have to build up faith on the basis of logic and reason. Then when they have faith, you can speak about things that are appreciated only when someone does have faith. But until they have faith, you just have to speak on the basis of logic and reason, or just engage them in service, and gradually they'll be purified and make advancement. So, yeah, we have to judge our audience and speak at an appropriate level for them. Don't say too much too soon. Or give them a book. That's always the best, because then they get everything, and they can't argue with you. Yeah, that's the best. All right, then, next.
To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain all the material attachment even after hearing so many instructions on this matter.
Can you explain what you just said?
It's majorly not to have faith in the holy name when we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it should not be like, there should not be doubts hovering around the mind that is it working, is it not working, should I chant further, should I not chant further. We should have complete faith that the name of Krishna and Krishna is not different, and we should try to reduce our material attachments since we are hearing on this subject matter from such a long time.
That's good. There's actually a connection between the two. To not have complete faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions. The idea is, if I have faith that the holy name will fulfill all my desires, you know, fulfill all my needs, then I won't hold on to my material attachments. I'll see that they're impediment to my taking full shelter of the holy name. But if I don't really have faith in the holy name, then I'll think, well, I'm not really sure if this is going to work or not. So I'll try it, but at the same time, you know, I'll have this thing going on and that thing going on and that thing going on. And if the holy name one doesn't work, well, I'll still have this and that and the other thing. So that really means you don't have faith in the holy name. And it's an offense. It's like you're chanting the holy name, but your heart's not really in it. But almost everything depends on association. By associating with people who have faith, we develop faith. And then there's an 11th one, and again, depending on how you divide the Sanskrit, it is one of the 10. Some of Prabhupada's translations of the list includes this as one of the 10, which is to be inattentive. Like often when we recite the 10 from the Nectar of Devotion at the end, someone will say it's also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one is, that's the root of all the other offenses. If you chant inattentively, all the others have scope to flourish. And if you chant with attention, then that chanting will clear our anarthas and free us from the other offenses. So that's the main one, to chant with attention. So when we follow everything, I mean, some of the offenses we commit at the time of chanting, but others are offenses that we commit when we're not chanting, like blaspheming devotees. I mean, we hope that while you're chanting, you're not blaspheming devotees, but it's something you do when you're not chanting. But it will disturb the condition of your heart. So when you do chant, you'll be disturbed. So our whole life should be led in such a way that when we do chant, our heart is clean, it's open, it's receptive to the holy name, and we can get the real benefit. And then we know this is not exaggeration, it's not imagination, it's real. So that's good. And as Vaisheshika Prabhu said, we have the Pancharatrika Vidhi to help us be regulated and controlled, and it all goes together. Natcheri Armarman, Natcheri Armarman, Natcheri Armarman, Hey, Natcheri Armarman, Natcheri Armarman, Natcheri Armarman, Natcheri Armarman.